I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Good afternoon to you and yours. It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice, who was just in for Haxton, who's on the road with Red Rudder Baseball. They're getting ready to take on Oklahoma State tonight in Stillwater. Three-game series begins. It's a 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch over on Double T 97.3. Sitting alongside Matt Esteson.
Wow.
See, I thought that he was like double loaded there, like was also completely set up, and he was going to kind of, you know, juke
well,
me out.
He just doesn't care.
Behind
anymore.
The scenes, I, for the first time in a long time, forgot which of the six mouses?
Mices, whatever they're supposed to be back here? Mooses? It's not mooses.
Yeah. Today, that's a different animal. I'm starting the show off with not a muscle memory day.
And that voice you just heard is Clint Scott. He's the first voice you hear when you give us a call on the Visual Edge IT hotline at 806-771-0973. Also can share any thoughts you have with us on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at 107thescore.com or the 100.7 The Score mobile app. We are having the Big 12 championship, track and field championship on the TV in front of us. And we were just discussing the heptathlon and the decathlon. And Matt getting some education there, right?
Yeah.
And you're not like a huge fan of this event, even though it's like 8 events or 10 events.
It's just weird to me.
It's
like I'm not knocking it. Like I said, I used the wrong word when I was talking to you about it off air. But
sure. And notice I didn't bring that word up.
Yeah.
Like so, I wasn't going to bury you that way. But
so they don't excel at one event, so we're going to put you in 8 events that you somewhat excel at. And then we'll see who wins.
Yeah, well, it's an all-around competition.
Like it.
It's like the same thing for gymnastics in the all-around competition. Like, they might not win the pommel horse or the floor exercises or whatever they're doing, but overall, they score enough points in all of them to be the best one at all of them.
I don't like it.
Collectively. You don't like it.
I don't like it. But it's okay. I'm
you don't
I'm,
have to like
I'm
it.
Wrong plenty of times, so.
Not everything is for everybody.
That's right.
These guys are a fan of doing everything. You're a fan of them just being sprinters or jumpers or pole vaulters or
They're,
whatever they're doing, hurdles.
They're 100 times the better athlete than me, so who am I?
These guys are 100 times better at their events in track and field than I am at anything I've ever done in my life.
That's right. So, you know what?
And I've been breathing since I was born. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Like, they're better at track and field than I am at breathing because no one wants to give me a scholarship for breathing.
Sure.
And someone gave these guys scholarships to go be a heptathlon or decathlon or whatever it is. Yeah. Like,
fair enough.
And I'm not trying to insinuate that you are not appreciating the athleticism on display here at all, because I don't think you that you are disparaging it.
No.
It's just not your bag.
That's right.
Something else that may or may not be your bag is high school baseball playoffs going on. 4 o'clock today, Cooper softball taking on Monterey in game 2. Followed by a game 3 if necessary. Cooper baseball in action in against Hanks in Fort Stockton, which is where our good buddy Choice Woodman is off to. It's 1 game today, 2 games tomorrow, depending on how today's game goes. You'll hear all 3 of those games here on 100.7 The Score. Game 1 tonight at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow it's at 11 and then immediately afterwards. Also tonight, Astros and Tigers get going. I've got a fact of the day about the Rangers and the Astros coming up at about 2:45. If you're looking for friendship, baseball, wait a minute, hang on. How did I screw this up? Cooper is here. Friendship is on Sunny. Choice is doing friendship, not Cooper. Cooper is taking on Hanks. Friendship is taking on Keller there in Graham. And then we got the Rangers at the Rockies, who are officially now the worst team in baseball. Thanks to the White Sox, 2-game win streak. That's right, boys. 10 wins on the season. Suck it.
Wow.
No one believes that for a minute, that that's actually how I feel
Isn't that only 2 less wins than the Strohs?
Strohs have 12, I believe. I think they've got 12 wins on the
12, year. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. The White Sox are bad. There's no argument.
Yeah.
This thought off the 8th Flooring Center chat line that from Bullfighter. Save this just for you, Matty Ice. It's the NBA logo if it was LeBron James.
No.
Here's the thing. The most memorable moment I have ever seen from LeBron James is the backboard block of just sheer athleticism, to give some credit where credit is due. Like, that was just a feat of, holy cow, I can't believe I just saw what I just saw from him.
Yeah.
That was cool. So I do want to give him a little bit of credit for that.
And most superstars in the NBA cry.
Every one of them does.
Right.
Like, it's not. It's like a rule.
He's just the most polarizing, but every athlete in the NBA that's a superstar cries. Tim Duncan was the biggest crybaby of all of them. You would have thought that, like, every time he went up, he expected a call. Well, he did expect a call, but, you know, when you're a superstar, you're going to get hit a little more. Shaq dunked on everybody with another player riding him.
Sure.
Just part of the game.
Now, I will say the one where he's looking over at Kevin Smith going, what are you doing? That there's some accuracy there.
100%.
Everybody what is doing the exact same thing.
I don't think that LeBron doesn't cry. I think he's absolutely a crybaby. But again, all superstars, I think, in all sports are almost, I mean, quarterbacks in general. Patrick Mahomes, the beloved Patrick, every time he gets hit, he's looking for the ref to throw a flag. So it is what it is.
It is the nature of the NBA, of them trying to get calls.
NBA, NFL,
whatever.
Receivers, the moment a ball gets overthrown and somebody's going deep as a top receiver in the league, what are they looking for? They're looking for a pass interference. They were getting held. It's just part of sports.
Sure. Now, if I could get rid of one thing, in though, with regards to that, with specifically receivers / corners on a deep ball, can I get rid of the when the quarterback overthrows the receiver and the defensive back by 10 yards – and they trip or stumble or whatever it is, and the defensive back jumps up and gives the not a catch symbol when he had
nothing to
less
do
than nothing to do with it.
If
I want to get rid of that.
If they said, like, hey, we're going all the way with a 15-yard flag anytime we see that celebration, out of the blue, like almost like tyrannical point of view, I'm fine with it.
Oh, sure.
Do it. I say go for it.
Now, if the defensive back makes a play, I got no issue with him doing it. Like, if he's the reason that it's not a catch.
Right, but the one that you're saying is the one that happens
most of the time.
4 or 5 times a game, is what it feels like.
And it's every team is guilty of it.
Especially if the quarterback got beat on it. That's the worst one, where it was literally the quarterback's
like
fault.
It was the quarterback who overthrew them both by 15 yards, and then the DB gets up like, I stopped that.
Yeah, that's all me, bro. That was all me. It's not a catch.
Welcome to my island, baby.
See, of mine that bothers me with mainly the secondary is when it's an absolute blowout and you've already given up like 35 points, but then they make one stop and they get up like they just saved the game. That's the ones I don't like. I'm like, man, like where was this, you know, energy when they were already putting up 28 points on you? Like, that's the ones I don't like, is when it's like 43-10.
The other one that jumps out is, you know, being just dominating a team. You're up, let's just say, you know, 56-7 or something, and then the receiver is the opponent is high stepping into the end zone to make it like 57-14 or 13 at that point. You're like, dude, read a scoreboard.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that there is no one around you, like in the zip code of where you're at, but
calm down
just a little.
You got a long ways to go.
Read the meeting. We'll get into some actual thoughts on sports of things that have happened with your headlines on the way next. We'll also get to Matt's thoughts on how the Mavericks have done in the first and second round now of the NBA playoffs, since he is our resident NBA expert. And hear maybe some thoughts from Tim Tadlock about the Red Raider baseball team. It's all coming up on The Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth. Or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thirty more minutes of the lunch hour here on the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice, who was in for Hacks, who's on the road, the Red Raider baseball team, and they, Matt, are in trouble. The baseball team. Not Hax. I mean, I don't think Hax is in trouble.
I mean, first he's off the road, now he's in trouble.
Listen, he takes driving lessons from Chuck Hines. We've heard this story. Right? So, I mean, he could. I don't know. I'm hoping not. I'm not trying to wish ill will on the guy, especially on his birthday. Happy birthday, Jeff Haxton. Go get some wins tonight. But the Red Raider baseball team really needs to start getting some wins after having a six-game losing streak. And it's... I think you and I had this conversation last week. If you are a glass half full guy, no, I think this conversation was with Jamie. If you're a glass half full guy, they're called reasons. If you're a glass half empty guy, they're called excuses. Same statements. It's just how you feel about the situation going on. And a lot of the times when you hear coach speak, they're never making excuses when it comes to injury. When you put a guy in the lineup or out on the start in the field, you expect them to perform. You know that if you lose a guy like, as an example, Michael Crabtree, it's hard to replace Michael Crabtree. If you lose a guy like Adrian Beltre at third base for the Rangers, it's hard to replace Adrian Beltre for your third baseman for the Rangers on everything he does.
Yeah.
But you still expect whoever you put in those positions to perform.
Of course.
Well, Red Raider baseball has been going through a magnitude of injuries. And he was, and head coach Tim Tadlock was asked how he doesn't just hang his head when he looks at all the guys that are injured on this team right now, and he's putting lineup together. And this is what he had to say about that.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I tell you, I enjoy the challenge of putting a lineup together and a bullpen and a starting pitcher daily, and have never thought one time, man, there's not enough there to go win the game. Not one time. And so maybe I don't see what y'all see as far as that goes. To me, that's our job no matter what you have. You got to have enough other guys, you know, to collectively go try to win the game and play good baseball. I guess there'll be a time where I look at what you're looking at, but right now I'm not going there. Right now we're going to Stillwater with 30 guys. And, you know, to me, like 30 guys, for crying out loud, only 9 of them played at a time. I mean, what? You ought to be able to win a baseball game. And so, you know, it's about playing the game the right way, obviously doing the things that the game asks you to do. But I guess at some point I'll get there. But, like, there just hadn't had that just yet.
When you hear a coach talking like that, what jumps out to you in that?
That is... coach talk to a T.
Really?
You have to say that. You as a coach, when you're losing players left and right due to injury, it weighs on you. But you can't let your team see that. You can't let the public see that. You have to go out and say the exact message that Tadlock said. That's why he is who he is, and he's so well respected, is that he knows what the message needs to be. Now, you know, whether or not he's sitting in a room trying to, you know, make sure that the team stays afloat with lineup changes and adjustments, and he's not stressing to the gills. That's why he is who he is. You know, he's a great coach, but he said exactly what you would think an experienced good coach would say, is I don't worry too much about that. My job is to put the lineup on the field, and we've got a great team for up and down, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to go out and compete, and I don't feel that we're at a disadvantage because of these injuries.
Another thing that we discussed with Tim Tadlock earlier this week, TJ Pompey has been a hole, really, in your offense. Mm-hmm. That's the nicest way I can describe it. He's in a massive slump. But you look at a guy who you bring in as a freshman as a starting shortstop at the beginning of the year. Now, you've moved him over to second base, and he's been a much better second baseman for you than he was as a shortstop earlier this year. But you don't put a freshman in that position unless you have a lot of faith in what he can do. And you don't expect him to be a part of your everyday lineup unless, as Tim Tadlock has said, if you can hit, we'll find a place for you to stand. Correct. Shortstop, second base aren't necessarily those positions that you would have them stand at, but as a freshman to compete in a Big 12 level at either one of those two infield positions, you've got to have a lot of faith that they know what they need to do defensively and that they're going to get this figured out. But with the bat in his hand, it has not been pretty. And we asked the head coach, what you tell a guy like that, that you've got a lot of faith in when he's struggling as much as he's been struggling?
So, I mean, really to me, with hitters, and this is whether a guy 10 for his last 10 or 0 for his last 10, it gets a lot simpler when you can base your success, are you moving on the right pitch? And are you getting bat to ball? In other words, are you hitting it hard? Are you achieving what you want to achieve? And each guy's a little bit different as it comes, you know, as far as that goes. But to me, you know, it can be a pressureless process if you base your success on moving on the right pitch. The law of average in baseball is going to beat you up, right? I mean, it just is. It's hard. It's hard to get a hit every time. I don't think anybody's ever done it. And so, you know, 3 out of 10 get you in the Hall of Fame. And so there's been many a guys put themselves in a slump because the mental challenge that the game presents. A lot of times you might not be getting results and they start hunting results. And so simplest thing, just move on the right pitch.
Nobody's ever hit it every time.
No, he was completely making a joke when he said that. But to his point that, you know, baseball
is really to me.
I thought you had that clip. That was going to be really impressive.
I was like, wow, you snipped and snapped that pretty quick.
I just liked it so much. I was like, well, let's listen again. Once more around the block, everybody.
And he's right on a lot of that. But what I liked there, as he was describing that, that it's is he going on the right pitch? Now, I don't know if TJ is going on the right pitch or not. But that stood out to me as a coach trying to help a guy out. What were your thoughts? The first time we heard it. The second time was, you know, Clint being awesome.
Yeah. I mean.
More coach speak from you?
That's kind of how I mean.
Okay.
You can't say a lot of negativity, I feel like, as a coach. You can and you can't. I think it's a fine line.
I mean, I've heard a great rant about fat little girlfriends.
Well.
there was nothing positive in that comment, and it was completely awesome.
Yeah,
And effective, by the way. That got some guys fired up the next week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it wasn't against Texas A&M, but...
Yeah. Same. Just good. That's just what an experienced coach says. I mean, I think he was, trying to help out. And I mean, he's 100% right, though, out of the, you know, 3 out of 10 get you in the Hall of Fame of baseball. So, you know, pick your pitches and make it count.
There's a great scene from Bull Durham. Yeah, Bull Durham, where Crash Davis is talking with the guys, and it's like, you know what the difference is between being sent down and being a Hall of Famer? It's like one hit a week. One CNI single. One little Texas Leaguer bloop. One ball where the shortstop has the sun in his eyes. One extra hit a week is the difference between being sent back down to the minors and being a Hall of Famer in Major League Baseball. Now, that's a big difference for what it is for these guys here in with regards to Major League Baseball and Big 12 baseball. But the line is that thin at times.
Extremely thin in baseball in terms of hitting, because you are 100% right. And but, it doesn't sound far right. Hey, you're a season 2 for 10 hitter.
Yeah.
You're a season 3 for 10. Oh.
Right. All of a sudden, you go from the Mendoza line to being the 300 guy. Now, none of these guys just have 10 at-bats. But you look at a guy like Pompey, and you got to – I don't want to say you got to keep throwing him out there and let him get out of it, but he's too important to your future to give up on him. And he's got too much talent to just wave the white flag.
Yep.
Coming up, we've got your word of the day, and we'll dive into some more NBA conversation about how the playoffs have gone with our NBA expert, Matt Esselstyn. This is The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com.
Getting to the point
but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Here on the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, but you need to log on to right now the 100.7 The Score website at 107thescore.com. Click on the link for the secret word, because we're doing this right now. $250 could be yours if you go onto the website and enter the secret word. We do this three times a day here on the station. We do it twice during the show, once now, once again at 2:45. You enter the secret word, you get a chance to enter, you win $250. We do not take your name out of the hat every time. No, once your name's in the hat, it stays in the hat unless we actually drew your name for the $250. But no one says you can't win twice. No one says you can't win, but if you don't enter, you can't win. It really is that simple, until we go out to Two Docks where you could win $2,500. But Matt, as I've explained before many times when we're talking about the secret word giveaway, thanks to the Home Zone, making your house a home, and here on 100.7 The Score, you can win both. No one says you can't. So log on to the website right now and enter the secret word, which is
Packers.
Packers. The guy that comes in after you is going to be very jealous that you got to say that as the secret word.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Josh is on deck.
He's coming in next because Jamie's with the Red Raider baseball team.
Yep.
They're getting ready to play Oklahoma State. But this thought off the 8th Swing Center chat line before we get to our NBA playoffs conversation with Matt Estensen, our NBA expert. Instead of NBA segment, can you just read the back of a shampoo bottle repeatedly? Well, I was going to, but the most boring thing I could find, though, was the ERAs of the starting pitchers and everybody that is pitching more than 17 innings for the Houston Astros. And there's a couple of them that are good, like with ones in the first number, but there's guys with like 844, 889, 4, 571, 563, 565. I was trying to save them some
dignity
there by not bringing that up. But
I mean, I have a L'Oreal Paris, let's see, Hex 6 oil shampoo. 360 milliliter bottle on the computer, revved up and ready to go, just in case you guys need it.
Just in case you got all the fine print.
It starts with the science of nourishment, so you guys just let me know when you're ready for it. Me and L'Oreal will be hanging out back here behind the glass, pressing on the wrong mouse, ready to go.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Clint. We appreciate that. So we've talked about the Thunder and the Mavericks with that series now tied at one game apiece with Game 3 tomorrow night. What are your general thoughts about the Nuggets and Timberwolves with Minnesota up 2-0 in that series?
I didn't see this coming.
Yeah, no kidding.
I thought Minnesota was good. In fact, I know they were good. I think they have, you could say right now, that playing some of the best basketball in the younger generation that's about to take over the NBA. Anthony Edwards is insane. The Nuggets don't look good right now. They look kind of like they got smacked in the face twice, which they did. And they just look unorganized on the court, man. That was the thing with Denver, is that they played, to me, kind of like a San Antonio Spurs type ball back when San Antonio was dominating, passing the ball a lot. You just felt like the movement on the court was so fluid. Everybody knew where everybody was supposed to be at the right time. And man, Minnesota came in and said, no, we're going to stop you. And we got the right formula. And that's what you've seen. You know, Jokic is still putting his numbers up, but it's just been a very much a tougher series than I even think Denver had in mind. And man, Minnesota came and took both of them in Denver, and now they get to go home. I don't think that they'll sweep them, but
they made 4-1? Them literally throw the towel in, and also the heating pad.
It was not a towel, it was a heating pad.
It was a towel and a heating pad.
Yeah, by Jamal Murray.
The heating pad got all the way to the court, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's got some weight to it. And
could we have thrown in any more – we have a heating pad at our house, but could you have thrown in any more grandma-looking thing on the floor?
Dude, if I can find the grandma heating pad, those are the ones to get.
These modern-day
heating pads suck.
Yeah.
All right? Because there's a stupid timer on them that turns off right about the time that the stupid thing gets hot. And if I want a heating pad, I don't want it just on for 2 minutes. I want to sit there and sit on it for like an hour to make my back or whatever, my shoulder, whatever's bugging me to put it on. I don't use it all the time, but it's stupid timer on them. When they turn off, it just annoys the crap out of me because it's got to cool off for a certain amount of period before it'll kick back on. Find me a grandma heating pad. I'm never letting that thing go.
Yeah.
Like, well, I want that at will.
It still might be on the court of the Nuggets. Go ask. Well, it's like, I hope next time he really commits and throws like one of those boil bags, you know, like the real bright red. Just throw one of those out there. That's a good look.
Yeah. No, it'll be a tough game tonight. We'll see what Denver does. I'm expecting Denver to play a lot better. They are a good team. I know that Minnesota's made them look poor, but they are a good team, and they do have the MVP of the league on that team in Jokic.
Surprising how well he was was a unanimous selection for that, for the MVP.
You know,
I was surprised that some of the first place votes didn't trickle out this year.
With awards like that that are coming in and when in postseason and stuff like that, when people are having a bad series, it's like people forget about how good of a season he had.
I'm not saying that.
Not you, but I'm just the people are like, well, he shouldn't have maybe won the third one. Why? Every night you felt like during the season they were like, oh, another triple-double. Look what Jokic did. So
I was just surprised as how well the 2 and 3 place guys did.
Yeah.
That somebody didn't steal a first place vote.
Yeah.
Like, and that was shocking to me. We've already talked a little bit about the Celtics and Cavaliers and how that series is tied up at one. You're a Knicks fan for just 15 seconds here. I know this is hard.
Oh, my gosh.
I know this is hard.
That's like a bad word.
I know this is hard.
Are you trying to break
that? I'm not. Just let me get this out, okay? Are you starting to get excited if you're a Knicks fan?
They play very dirty, not dirty, if that makes sense. They just play really old school basketball. They're tough. They're gonna
stiff.
Yes. Defensively, I mean, they're very aggressive. You know what? I'll admit it, even as a Celtics fan, I like watching how this Knicks team plays ball. This is a team also without Julius Randle, who is hurt. They just lost their center as well. Jalen Brunson's banged up. I mean, they've got a lot of injuries. That is pretty normal with Thibodeau teams. He just plays the crap out of them. They're going to run 44 minutes a game. He doesn't care. He doesn't play a bench. So I worry about that as this series goes on, excuse me. But I think the Knicks will come out ahead on this series as well, and I think that they have a chance to sweep, to be honest with you,
right.
Which would need much-needed rest for the winner of Boston and Cleveland, which I still think Boston will win that series.
See, I
but
do
Cleveland
too.
Has Boston right where they want them.
Right where they again, it will all come back and throw into my face. I'm not worried. I think Boston definitely takes care of business and wins that series.
I'm not a Knicks fan. And I'm not when it comes to New York sports, the Knicks, of all of the ones that I would possibly root for, are probably at the bottom of that list. And I'm not one of those people that says the NBA is better when the Knicks are good, because the NBA was better when the Bulls were good, and the Pistons were good, and the Pacers were good, and the Lakers were good, and the Celtics were good. Like, when there's multiple good teams is when the league is good. It doesn't matter who they are. And the Knicks were good then, too, but the Knicks didn't win a championship then. The Knicks haven't won a championship in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Does that mean the NBA hasn't been good in my lifetime? No, that's not how it works. But a New York fan base is very much a basketball-first fan base. The Yankees can claim a lot because they win a lot, and there are a lot of Yankees fans in New York. Don't get me wrong. But when the Knicks are good, New York is a Knicks town.
Sports in general, NBA or not, is better when you don't know who's going to win. When Golden State was dominating, it got to where it wasn't fun to watch. Like, they went and put KD on a team that was already a back-to-back champion, and then you said, here, take this other guy that's arguably one of the best scorers in NBA history. If not, some people would make the argument he's the best. He's 6'11", dribbles like a guard, he can shoot from anywhere.
And before anybody says anything, you stress the word scorer.
Yes.
Scorer, because I hate when you say his name. He's not one of the top five best players
of
all time.
No, I didn't.
Scorer.
No. Score. Pure score. But it wasn't fun when the Warriors should win this. Sports are better when there is almost a level playing field and you don't know who's going to win. That's what makes sports fun. It's fun when your team's in it, of course, but you like to see it where, hey, we're down to the final 8 teams. You know, realistically, 6 of these teams could win. That's what makes the playoffs fun. So basketball this year has been that.
Matt, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks,
sir. Go get some lunch. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Josh Valpel on his way. You're getting claws from Clint again. I don't know why. It's Clint being weird. It's more Bottom Line on the way on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Jeff McGuire filling in for the one and only Choice Woodman, who's on his way with the Friendship Baseball team in Graham as they're taking on Keller. Those games will be over on Sunny 97.7. Sitting alongside now, Josh Valpel and Clint Scott is the first voice you hear when you call the Visual Edge IT hotline at 806-771-0973. We just wrapped up a NBA conversation about the NBA playoffs that you'll be able to check out on the podcast at 107thescore.com. And this thought comes in, back of the shampoo bottle is definitely more interesting. Josh, you have a very... what's the word I want to use? Full head of hair with the
sure.
It's got some body to it. Do you have some shampoo tips for us?
I never wash my hair. That's not true, but that would have been funny, wouldn't it? Because after everything you just said.
Sure, yeah. That would have been shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, I've still got the label here. L'Oreal Paris. You know, it's really incredible. The L'Oreal... laboratories have developed extraordinary oil nourishing shampoo infused with six, count them six, what they call nutritive oils. Argon.
Nutritive oils.
Yeah, not even okay. Nutritious. Argon.
Well, you shouldn't eat shampoo.
Almond. Camelina.
Almond oil? Okay.
Coconut.
Coconut.
Jojoba.
Jojoba.
And olive.
Olive.
There's olive oil. Interesting. I mean, you can eat olive oil. Like, it's an ingredient even in, like, things.
I've got, like, seven more paragraphs on the back of this bottle that I pulled up, so you guys just let me know when you need more L'Oreal Paris.
Have you got the ingredients for L'Oreal there by any chance? I thought it was interesting that on my respective shampoo, Aqua. It says water in parentheses. It says Aqua is the primary
ingredient.
That's
the first ingredient.
And that doesn't surprise me that water is the primary ingredient, but I did... that they went with the Aqua spelling instead. Like, even H2O, I was expecting, you know, hydrogen dioxide, not...
Diamond...
No, hang on. H2O. It'd be H2, so it's dioxide. No. Hydrogen dioxide?
Science with the bottom line.
Yep.
Man, there's a reason I don't do chemistry.
Dihydrogen monoxide.
Let's see here.
I did a report on
that's
this.
What I put
it
in my
dihydrogen
hair.
Dihydrogen monoxide.
This thought off the East Orange Center chat line. If Culver would have done anything in the league, all those same people would be all about some NBA news. There's probably some truth to that, but I will also say that we have always been Rangers fans around here, we were much more interested in the Rangers when they drafted Josh Young.
Yeah.
That it got much more exciting.
Certainly.
Anytime you've got a local grab, it's much more entertaining.
It's kind of the parallel as to why you see Chiefs jerseys in Lubbock.
No way. You mean they aren't just all fans of Clint Scott?
I guess that's
to jump
not a
on
parallel.
The Clint Scott bandwagon
that's not a parallel, actually, because the parallel would have been if he would have gotten drafted by the Cowboys. So that is an...
I think it's a very fair parallel.
My parallel was not immediately...
I do think it is fair because there were a lot of non-baseball... in general, like Rangers fans in general, like if they had a team, it would be the Rangers, but they weren't like following it that locked in because Josh was playing.
But my parallel was with the Chiefs, whereas people aren't inherently rooting for the Chiefs. They are for the Cowboys. So the parallel would have been him going to the Cowboys, not the Chiefs.
Changing teams because of Pat. I see what you're saying. It's also easy not to be rooting for the Cowboys right now because...
Well,
Cowboy fan, let's go. It's going to be a horrible year.
Were Jason Merrill and Patrick Mahomes ever on the same team? I don't know if that
one year.
I don't know if that,
that
timeline
one
lined up.
Off season. I'm trying to remember if there was any sort of crossover.
Yeah, that's my.
Was he or is he just with Potts?
I know a picture of them exists, but they. But I. I don't think it's like a jersey.
He didn't go to the Chiefs first. What, he was at the Jets. Titans?
Jets.
See,
I'm wondering if they played here.
He didn't make it out of the offseason for the Chiefs. So I'm trying to remember if there was, that was a very, very, very young,
like kind of
first couple of years, Patrick Mahomes, and maybe the first year before starting Patrick Mahomes.
Jace was on campus.
Anyway.
Come on. No. 2013. So, yeah, he would have been here with Pat, right? That first year?
You meant with Kansas City, right?
What?
You meant with crossover with Kansas City. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about here on campus.
No, not on campus. I met excuse me. I met at Kansas City. Sorry. That was not clarified.
I got it.
Did you?
I remember.
No, you did. You
more
did.
Shampoo bottle, huh?
No, we're not going more shampoo bottle.
Kai told me about Jason Merrill coming into the station at one point, and I don't remember what the context was or why, but she says he was, like, so tall.
He was an enormous human being, mm-hmm. yes. And it was very disappointing of his injury history here. And the fact that he screamed, throw him, like Gronk, throw him the ball with 5 yards into the end zone. He will be the only one that can get to it. Just he'll just reach up and be like, hey, look, it's mine. And people will tackle him, and he'd be like, no, I'm just standing here with the football now. Like, that's the size difference that Jason Amaro was compared to almost everybody else. It felt like he could have been the major mismatch for you, but he couldn't stay healthy here. Mm-hmm. And this was during the reign of just the every injury they were day-to-day. Because, you know, if you were the status of every Texas Tech athlete dead or alive that still has college eligibility left, it was day-to-day. Because if we figure out reincarnation tomorrow, by God, we're going to get him back on the field. Like, it's that kind of thing. And he was in that. He was day-to-day for like 6 weeks. And we just kept waiting for the day-to-day to end. And then he comes in and then gets basically thrown out of the ballgame. So that's forever how we will remember Jason Morrow around here. But, yeah, huge dude. No argument.
Not to backtrack too much, but just to what you guys were talking about, we did get a small glimpse of it. Right, and I do think that the people who really said, hey, I don't care about the NBA at all, and this wasn't a game, this is a dunk contest back-to-back years, but you have Mac McClung, who's won it and been in it, and there was a small push, and no one that, you know, is a Red Raider fan was going, oh, boo, I hate that, but more of, it wasn't enough to make me tune in, right? Like, I think we still saw plenty of that, and maybe it's different if you are actually playing in the, you know, in the games and you're on a playoff team or whatever the case may be. And maybe the other side of it is, oh, Mac McClung was only here a year, whatever. Whatever that side is, there was a guy who was a Red Raider who was doing something of note in the NBA, and there was still a portion that, like, wasn't upset that he did it by any means, but still just didn't care. Like, the care factor still wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, you said that towards the beginning is the not enough to make them tune in. Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to completely shift gears. Well, not really shift gears, because we've been talking a little bit of football, but it's the offseason for the Red Raider football team and schedules, and we're going to talk about what we feel confident about, stuff that we don't feel confident about, stuff that we'd like to feel confident about, stuff we have confidence in. It's all about confidence. We're building some today. About the Red Raider football team in the upcoming season. It's on the way here on the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Jeff sitting in for Choice. Josh sitting in for Jamie. Clint in his normal chair here on the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Get your thoughts in on the Yates Flooring Center Challenge at 107thescore.com or on, give us a call on the Visual Edge IT Hotline, 806-771-0973. Keep listening for 2:45 for our secret word of the day, brought to you by The Home Zone, making your house a home and giving you a chance to win $250 in cold, hard cash. But that is not what we're discussing now. Josh.
All right.
It's basically the off season for Red Raider football. I mean, it is the off season. They're not in season right now. They're not practicing.
Yeah.
a lot of schedule talk recently about how we feel about this, the season coming up. What are some things that you feel, what's the most confident thing you can say about the upcoming Red Raider football season?
I think we have another situation where even if something happens with the unfortunately, even if something happens
don't,
to the starting
don't,
quarterback.
Don't finish that thought. Skip that next little sentence there and move on to the next part of your point. So we're not even putting that in the universe.
It's a point of confidence, at least. But I think you feel better. I think I've heard around here more that you feel pretty good about the wide receiver room. It's going to be fairly young starting off, but I think you feel pretty good about it, especially with Micah Hudson. Maybe not going to be your number one, but you have someone who you project to be, you know, kind of filling that role. And when the five-star recruit isn't projected to be your number one, I think that's good stuff, you know? Like, that's pretty – what am I trying to say?
That's a sign of good things.
A good problem to have. Yeah, encouraging. There you go. That's where most of my confidence comes from, is even though it's a young room, even though it's a room that doesn't have a lot of return, like returning from last season, it's one you feel good about.
Clint, what's the most confident thing you can say that, like, bet your rent check on this specific thing about the Red Raider football team?
Oh, I had another one. Go ahead. Good. Sorry.
Well, we got last of
That's why.
You've got a top five, and I'm being generous going just down to top five because I really could go top three here. Top five running back in the Big 12 coming back, and you have of the known quantities that you do have on this team, the one that leads the conversation is Taj Brooks. And you don't exactly have slouches behind him, by the way. I'm very excited to see what you get. You know, Cameron Valdez, I was glad that he decided to come back. And I got why he originally was dabbling with the portal.
Sure.
I think that is great that they got him back. And hopefully with as we cross our fingers for an improved offensive line, that opens up some different things that he can do as well. Because he was a little bit behind the eight ball, not only because Taj was more experienced, obviously, and had been here longer, but he doesn't have the exact same skill set. And, I mean, you don't want copy and paste running backs, by the way, like the, you know, different running style. But Taj Brooks was so good at evading tacklers in the backfield. Unfortunately, we saw that quite a bit, and that's why he led the conference in broken tackles. And that's just not all the way what Valdez's bag is. So hopefully as you take a step forward with the offensive line, that helps him out some too. And he didn't have a bad year or anything like that. But there's a reason why Brooks was able to do what he was able to do. And that's not to say that the offensive line with run blocking was just atrocious last year, by the way. But there were times that clearly it was not perfect, and Taj Brooks had to show off a little bit in ways that you necessarily don't want to see him have to show off with. Because a lot of those broken tackles, too, I mean, were 2 yards past the line of scrimmage or first time he meets a linebacker. So it's not like all of those broken tackles are because, like, oh, the offensive line's just a swinging door and...
No, but there were times that it kind of felt like that in the pass protection game.
Yeah, but my confidence, though, is that it starts with Taj Brooks, but you are the most set with the running back position coming in. And you've got a freshman they're really excited about, too. So
yeah,
and there's a reason why you saw a couple more running backs late put their name in the transfer portal.
The running back room itself is where most of my confidence with this football team lies. But the one just caveat with that, and they said they were going to not – that they adjusted to this, being the coaching staff. We didn't see it once last year. We didn't see it twice last year. We saw it three times where they forgot Taj Brooks was back there.
Oh.
You lose your starting quarterback in the game. Turn around. There's a guy back there that's really, really good. Give him the football. And the frustration that I had with that cannot be undersold. I trust in Taj Brooks. I don't necessarily trust in the offensive line. I hope that they're better, but hope is not a strategy. That's not what we're going to talk about, hope. We're talking about confidence. I have confidence in Taj Brooks. And I have confidence, if given the opportunity, that he will help you take care of business. But you got to give him that opportunity. It can't be a situation like you ran into last year where I don't know if you were checking out of plays for Taj and checking into something else that didn't work, if you were checking into plays with Taj that you had no business of checking into. The other problem that we had with some of that is, you know, they say you never want to run into an eight-man front. You know who loved running into an eight-man front? Adrian Peterson. You know why? After he got past the eight-man front, there were only three guys behind him, which means big runs are possible. And if Taj, which we have seen, can break the tackles like he can, why not give it a try? Why not pretend that you're going to be a running team for a little bit? Now, I'm not saying run against a brick wall. Don't misunderstand. But just because there's eight guys on the line of scrimmage doesn't mean you don't give it a shot every now and then. Because you got a man back there. Give the man the ball.
Well, I mean, you still did that plenty. I mean, I think what you're going to is situationally, especially in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And I do think, to their credit, in the back half of the season when they absolutely were forced to, whenever it had been hit over their head several times, hey, figure it out, they did. And so the eight-man in the box thing, I think that had more to do with the first six games of the season, and then the last six, you did that. The problem was, the defenses were just able to do that week after week after week. And to what Josh is saying with the receivers, hopefully these two go hand in hand, where if you're Taj Brooks, do you want to run against an eight-man box? Because I would sure like to see the offense be able to open things up so you're not having to do that. And hopefully we don't run into that problem this year and you don't see that argument, because defenses like just play one can't go, all right, how many people can we put at the line of scrimmage? Because we know what they can do and what they can't. And right now they can't throw the ball down the field.
Right. And ultimately you would like a healthy Baron Morton throwing to your healthy wide receivers and tight ends to open up the run game. And if nothing else, you bring in one of my favorite plays in all of football, which is the play action pass. Because what the play action pass does, when I see a good play action pass, it tells me three things. Number one, your quarterback is ready to go. Number two, it tells me your offensive line can block for said quarterback. And most importantly, an effective play-action pass means that your running back is drawing the attention of the defense. That's when they really work. That's when everybody has to make the initial bite on the running back. My second favorite play is the little five-end curl for the tight end. Little five-yard, little end turn. Go out five, just sit there and be a security blanket. Jason Witten, Jay Novacek. I can go through a list of tight ends that have just made that a career. I'm going to go out a little 5 yards, curl out, and just sit there. Oh, look at me. I'm going to catch a ball and get a first down every other play. That guy right there, invaluable for an NFL team. Can be for college, too, because you can keep moving those chains and keep giving yourself opportunities. Being that little security blanket guy, nothing absolutely wrong with it. Those are my two favorite plays, because when they're working, it's just dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, confidence is key. That and health. And we need to see some of that from the Red River football team as we go forward. On the way, we got your question of the day coming up. I'm going to give you a little hint. It'll be a little hint. It's not about football. I've eliminated one sport.
So I'm going lacrosse, Josh. I don't know what your guess is.
I was going curling.
If you want to know what sport it's about, come back with us next here on The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is The Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Minutes from now here on The Bottom Line, got your top 10 list for the day. It's a list that I think all of us will have opinions on. I think there are numbers of this list that we will sit there and argue about the number, but the worthiness of them being on the list is understood.
Okay.
But that's at 2 o'clock. 15 minutes from now, it's... what have I got 15 minutes? Oh, your dad joke of the day.
Yeah.
Hmm. I should come up with one then, huh? That should be something I figure out between now and then. Cool. Good tip. But now it's time for Jamie's question of the day from not Jamie.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score. Brought to you by someone not named Jamie and presented by Kinetico of West Texas. Life's hard. Your water shouldn't be.
Josh?
Yes.
Clint, our fine listening audience.
Mostly them.
That's for everybody. This is a universal question. If you just want to make it a simple yes, no, you can. If you want to defend your answer, go for it.
I like the minimal option.
You're opening the door for us to not elaborate. Yeah, and just sure. Say yes or no, and then we're out.
Because it could just be as simple as that.
Okay.
As we get to this question. However, I do think the conversation about it involves more than just a yes or no answer. But that could be, in fact, your answer.
Gotcha.
Does Texas Tech baseball make the regional tournament? Yes or no? As we sit here today, knowing what we know today about this Red Raider baseball team.
So my answer would be less about the team and I think less, more so about the logistics of what like it can take, will take to get there. If you could tell us what that would be, I would have a better answer for you. But off the top of my head, my answer is no. I think they've been given plenty of opportunities to make that an outright yes, or where the confidence is a lot higher. But I mean, we've come a long way from being disappointed that they or being happy that they. I don't remember if they won or lost against TCU. That road trip being kind of a disappointing road trip, we've come a long way from even then getting really blown out by New Mexico. And then there's just been a lot since then. They've had a lot of opportunities since then to really convince us that they're on the path to, I don't want to say setting things right, but certainly to giving us the vote of confidence that they're going to be in a super regional.
Well, we're just talking about regional.
Regional.
We're not even sniffing regional. Super regional at this point. Clint.
No.
You knew that was coming. I thought about
no,
it.
No, it's fine.
I thought
no,
about
no.
it.
Perfectly fine.
I mean.
He's got hot dogs to eat. I get it.
This is. It's just a bummer to talk about. For being.
I didn't say it was nice.
I know. And I know. It's like the more you dive into it, I feel like legitimately, I feel like around this week has been the quietest it's been about baseball. Not just from us. I mean, from the chat line.
Everybody.
Like, it has just been depressing. No, I don't think you're going to make the tournament because right now, what's your RPI? 49 or something?
49.
Yeah,
currently.
Not great. I don't think it's about to get much better from a trip to Stillwater. Top
it
three.
Could.
It could, but you don't. But you haven't played well on the road.
There's the other.
Where's the light switch going to turn on that hasn't throughout this entire season? And oh, by the way, you're going to a top three team in the Big 12. You have that last series left where you see UNLV and Arizona State. There's not really a huge RPI boost there. Arizona State's right at 90. UNLV's 2-something. I don't think there's enough ground to make up. And so then you go, okay, well, what about the Big 12 tournament? And that's still up in the air, by the way, although I do think you will make the Big 12 tournament and you'll make that cut. But then all of a sudden you go, well, now you have to have a good showing, if not win the whole thing. And that just has not been you just haven't had a great track record of success. So, I mean, pit in my stomach type feeling back here. I don't think you're going to make the tournament. I think you'll be one of those that is sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then when you get like the full bracket, you're first four out, something like that, second four out.
I do think that even
that was fun.
Yeah. Even though
I never said this was fun.
Even though that's kind of the general attitude, like what you mentioned, I do still want to hear, like, and on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, if anybody wants to take this position, I want to hear the yeses and what the reasoning would be for those yeses. So, and I mean, I don't think anybody in this room is kind of in that camp, but, well, unless you're going to.
No.
Okay.
The short answer for this is I don't think so. And I'm not even in the same camp that Clint is.
Oh.
I'm worried about the Big 12 tournament.
Oh, that they may not even...
And if you don't make the Big 12, yeah, regional, just kiss that sucker goodbye. I mean, your season could end next weekend. And... that's not what we do here. Since Tim Tadlock has been here as your head coach.
Right.
This is just, it's been a not fun 2 week window. 0-6 in Big 12 play sucks. No one is arguing. And, like, if you get swept again this weekend, which, oh, by the way, could absolutely happen, and Baylor wins four of their next six, which, oh, by the way, could happen. You're in seventh place in the Big 12.
Clint just gave a thumbs up.
If I ever had, like, that was the perfect time to have one of those little party poppers, you know?
Yeah.
But there's one in every pack that does not work very well at all. Just to have that one. Yeah,
and like the like New Year's kazoos, it's one that doesn't work, or like
it blows.
It rolls out, but no noise.
Yeah,
yeah.
I
apologize for that. I regretted doing that.
And we talked about this last hour. I talked about this a couple of times. If you're a glass half full guy, there are reasons. If you're a glass half empty guy, there are excuses.
Yeah,
this team has been riddled with injuries in every aspect. Except your offense, and they've been as inconsistent as anything I've ever seen from a Red Raider offense, from a Red Raider baseball perspective. If the wind is blowing out, this team is hitting home runs like they're going crazy. If this team is facing inferior pitching, for the most part, they're absolutely taking care of business. But we've continuing. You look at the numbers overall; they're leading the Big 12 teams in offense. Boy, they sure don't feel like it with the way you faced against Oklahoma last weekend, like. Where was your offense in that game? It didn't show up until game three, and even then, it was way too late.
I think that's something that's really frustrating, other than just the whole situation, but just how the season has kind of mapped out. Because you go back to off-season talk, and we were so excited about the offense, right? And it was questions around pitching, who was going to hold down starting spots, who was going to step up and be those key relievers. Like, that really was so much up in the air with the arm department, and they certainly have not been helped by injuries, but the offense has not. And so if the offense had lived up to, I think, what we all thought it would be, the injuries might not have been
that big of a
deal. I mean, certainly still a hindrance, but not as big of a deal, because your offense has not lifted up. And the defense hasn't been great at times this year, too. And really, it's been a full rotation of whose turn is it to not perform well this week. But the offense, as inconsistent as it has been and just completely gone on the road, has been mind-boggling. And that's where I think most of my frustration this year has been.
I said seventh. I don't know why I said seventh. I'm smarter than that. 11th, because there's 13 teams that play. Bottom three, 11, 12, 13, don't make the Big 12 tournament. I'm so used to 10 and 9 in baseball. And then we got added new teams, but we didn't add enough new teams, and my head's still screwed, okay? It's my fault thinking and counting backwards instead of forwards. My bad. That was all my fault. But yeah, you could finish there out of the Big 12 tournament. Still embarrassing. Not as embarrassing as it used to be, because then it was only one team that didn't make it. Now you've got friends.
Yeah.
That's a club I want to be in.
Exclusive.
14 pity party tournament. Let's go.
Three.
Oh, yeah. Iowa State. Stupid Iowa State.
Again, that's where we're at.
Hey, it'll be an even number when Colorado gets here, but not with baseball.
No, it still won't. Yeah, we're still.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.